desire and interest in your prayers and in your attention today. I have a thought this morning that we'd like to continue this evening, Lord willing, but maybe the same word, but use it in a different application maybe this evening. So I'd just like to say as a advertisement that I'd like to have you all come back this evening. The word I want us to talk about is confidence. And this is something that I don't know how to communicate my real strong desire that we could all have confidence. It's been my observation in life that there have been many people that have struggled with confidence in various areas of their life. I've seen firsthand what a lack of confidence can do, and the uncertainty, the questions that people ask themselves, how it has hindered development, how it can hinder growth, how it can hinder progress and accomplishment in so many areas of our life. And it's not just something that I have observed in someone else. I've dealt with it too. I know when you're not confident about something, how it can hinder growth, how it can hinder progress and accomplishment in so many areas of our life. And it's not just something that I have observed in someone else. I've dealt with it too. I know when you're not confident about something, the thing that comes with a lack of confidence is apprehension. You can be apprehensive of whether it will your efforts will be successful. And some of us have had to deal with that in maybe our everyday affairs, maybe not really knowing exactly maybe how to complete a task or something like that. So our confidence level is low. And then when our confidence level is low, maybe it takes us longer to do something than it does if someone was confident and capable. Sometimes it happens in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and we're, our confidence is low and we're not sure about where we maybe stand with the Lord, or whether something is right or wrong, or whether God approves or disapproves. And so we end up burning up a lot of time and energy, and our thinking process gets bogged down, and maybe we get discouraged because we don't know where to go to find the answers and to feel confident. And one thing that I find that has impacted me, and I really noticed this when I was helping Brother Stephen with his roof here a while back. I've never been a person that has been overly confident on a steep roof. And especially when the eave height is 22, 24 feet off of the ground. So I've not just been one of those people that's been reckless and unaware of what it would feel like to fall and hit the ground. But I have found that when I get up there on a steep surface, my knees aren't as strong as they used to be. And when I start crawling around on this steep surface, I feel like that my knees might want to just kind of give. And I can't, you can't afford your knee to kind of give way for just a split second, because if it does, that's all it takes to start rolling off that roof. And so I told him, I said, there's some things here that, you know, I'll help every chance I can, but when it gets up there to running around on the decking and rolling out tar paper and stuff like that, I don't know that I'm going to be able to help you. It's not because I don't want to help you, it's just I don't feel confident up there. So I'm not talking about confidence like I got it all sewed up in a bag and I'm looking down on people that don't have confidence. I want you to know that all of us, no matter what area you may feel confident in, all of us have areas that we, our confidence needs reinforcement. And we need to work on this. There are other areas I can go into, and maybe I will as we get into our thought today, but that I have felt insecure, less than confident in my life. I'd like to turn first to Job, the 23rd chapter, and would like to read the 10th verse. We all are familiar with Job's situation in life and how that he was tested. In our perspective, Job was tested beyond reason. He lost all of his temporal possessions. He lost all of his wealth in this world. He lost his children. He lost the support of his wife. And he was afflicted. He became a miserable person in every aspect that you can imagine. And I get a lot of good things out of the book of Job because Job didn't end up that way. It says the latter end of Job was better than the beginning, but he went through some difficult places. And I believe all of us will go through difficult places. But I want us to notice here Job 23 and 10. There is something that Job had here that is very, very important to us. He says in 23 and 10 of Job, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." It is, to me, there is a level of confidence that rings through that verse that is so important. Job knew that he was being tested. He knew he was going through a difficult time. He knew what his life had consisted of. He knew what had been taken away from him. He knew what kind of distress he was in. And he said, with confidence, "He knoweth the way that I take." I'm confident that God knows how I got to this place. Job didn't know all the details. He said, but I know God knows. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I don't know how this is all going to end up. But he said, I have the confidence, if I can say it that way, that when he's finished, when this is all over with, that he's going to find out that there's real value in my confidence in the Lord. It is not just a bag of trash. It's not rubbish. I have confidence that the Lord knows who I am. Now I'd like for us to turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and notice a verse over here. I'm not interested in just elevating confidence to the point that everybody says, oh, that looks like a good thing, let's go get some of it. But I would like to help us get a hold of some principles this morning with the help of the Lord that will help us repair our confidence and to gain confidence where we don't have it. So if we look in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 21st verse, it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." So confidence is conditional because it says, if our heart condemn us not. So that word "if" means that the confidence that we want and that we should have is conditional on us having a heart that doesn't condemn us. Now, I'd like for us to maybe focus our thoughts on confidence in the spiritual sector this morning, because without a confidence in the Lord, when we come to the end of life's way, we're going to be devastated. I want us all, every one of us here, I want us to be able to meet the Lord with confidence and be like Job when he says, I know that that God knows the way that I've gone. He knows my life. And that when he tries me, when he examines me, I'm going to come forth as gold. And I'm going to tell you, that is a very confident statement. And I remember so many times as a teenager, Brother Mark Sammons saying, telling us that we could have a no-so salvation. And I believe it's available for us today. I believe we can have confidence and know that my soul has been redeemed. I am acceptable in God's sight. I believe that the objective and the plan for the gospel of the New Testament is that we would be able to have confidence in our spiritual walk and our relationship with the Lord. So I'd like to read you a few things that I got from some commentaries about this little phrase, if our heart condemn us not. Because if that is what it's contingent on, then that's the part I need to work on. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So Wesley said in his commentary, if our conscience duly enlightened by the Word and the Spirit of God in comparing all our thoughts, words, and works with that Word, pronounce that they agree therewith. Now I know their terminology sometimes may be difficult, but I'd like to just focus on one little phrase that he said. He says, comparing all our thoughts, words, and works with that Word, with the Scripture. So here's how we go about having a heart that doesn't condemn us. We start comparing all our thoughts, our words, and our works with His Word. And when we start doing that, we start analyzing. Maybe that's, I don't know if you feel like that's the right word or not, but we start analyzing whether it's acceptable in comparison to the Word. Now, when we start thinking about what's in the Scripture, and many of us here know a lot of what the Scripture says. So I'd just like to say, you know, if this morning you're in a place where your confidence level is low, or maybe you feel like it's not where you want it to be, maybe you don't feel like you have any confidence at all, then let's start out by doing what John Wesley said in his commentary. Let's stop and think about and compare our thoughts, our words, and our works with the Word, with the Scripture, with what He has already taught us. Many times the Word goes beyond, this Word he's talking about here, goes beyond what I just found written in the Scripture. Maybe it's something that God has spoke to you about. Maybe he is witness to you, and maybe he has inspired something to you. Maybe he has given you some understanding and spoke to a particular place in your life. And you know, if you get to a place that you kind of disregard that or shove it off to the side, and you're not really willing to put in practice what he has talked to us about, then our confidence is going to be low. It's just, you know, when you pull one down, then that affects the other one. So how do we have confidence? Compare our thoughts, our words, and our works with the Word. Another commentator said, if we so live to have an approving conscience, that is, if we indulge in no secret sin, if we discharge faithfully every known duty, if we submit without complaining to all the allotments of the divine providence. Now, Barnes is in commentary called Barnes Notes is where I found that. So I'd like to pick up on three things that he said. He said, if we indulge in no secret sin. Did you know that secret sin will destroy confidence? If you know that you're doing something that the Lord don't approve of, that He would consider to be sin, did you know that that's going to damage and destroy your confidence? And we're not talking about a light thing here. We want to have confidence. I don't know when my time is going to be up. I don't know when anyone's time is going to be up. But we must have confidence to be able to enter in to that eternal abode. And he says if we indulge in no secret sin, if we discharge faithfully every known duty, are we doing all that we know that we're supposed to do? What does it say in the New Testament? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So every known duty, are we doing that? You know, it's hard to hold somebody accountable for something that they really don't know. But if they really do know, are you doing that? You want to have confidence with the Lord? Then are we doing everything that we know that we ought to do? And the other point was that he made was submit without complaining. You want to have confidence in your relationship with another person? Don't, maybe with your boss or your supervisor. You know, if every time your boss comes in within your line of sight and you say, oh no, here he comes. I wonder what he wants this time. And all your coworkers know that you grumble and complain about your boss just coming within eyesight of you. And then when they come and say, hey, I want you to stop what you're doing here and I want you to go complete another task over here somewhere. And we say, oh no, okay, if that's really what you want. You know, just not wanting to be cooperative. We've all been tempted with that. I don't care what your occupation has been. I don't know, whatever your line of work, it doesn't matter if you're who your boss is or how many people he's got under him. We've all been tempted to grumble and complain and gripe about what the boss wants on our jobs. And he says here that we, to have confidence with God, we ought to submit without complaining. You know, if we're constantly mumbling about, I don't know why, that the Lord wants me to do this. I feel like this is an unnecessary requirement, and I feel like he don't really love me if he wants this out of me. I'm going to tell you, it's going to destroy your confidence if we can't submit without complaining. And then I read something in Adam Clark. He says, if we be conscious of ourselves, of our own sincerity, that we practice no deceit and use no mask. So I'll just stop there. If our heart condemn us not, this is the comments on that phrase. He says, we must be conscious to ourselves of our own sincerity. Well, just how serious are you about living for the Lord? We must be conscious of it. Well, how serious am I about living for the Lord? Is it something that I just want other people to think that I really am a Christian? Or is it something that really deep down in my soul, I want to be pleasing to the Lord? How conscious am I to myself of our own sincerity, my desire to be pleasing to the Lord? He says, use no mask. Don't use some kind of disguise. Don't use some kind of fakeness or facade. Be real, if you want to use more current terminology. Be real with the Lord. Be real with yourself. Where am I in my desire to be pleasing to the Lord? Am I doing it for some other reason? Am I doing it because I think somebody else thinks I ought to do this? What? I want to tell you, when it comes down to the end of life's way, I want us to have confidence with the Lord. I don't want us to come to the end and realize I don't have the confidence that I should have. So let's look at a little bit more about how to be in a place that our heart does not condemn us. Because 1 John 3 and 21 told us, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." We're talking about our spiritual confidence today. I'd like to turn to Philippians, the second chapter, and notice a verse, I believe, in this, that's in verse 12. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know that you can't go down to any place that sells commodities and buy confidence? You can't do it. Now, there are things that appears to be confidence, but you can't buy confidence. You have to develop it for yourself. You know, I think about our clothing sometimes, and all of us, well, maybe I better say it different. None of us are the ideal size, perfect size. Now, you might go down and buy some clothing and think, "Well, this is my size." Well, unless they fitted it to you, it's not your size. I'm sorry. It might be close to your size, but it's not really your size. It wasn't made just for you. It was made for a bunch of different folks that was kind of like you. But it wasn't made for you, all right? And we sometimes think, "Well, oh, my pant size is whatever, and my shirt size is this, and this is the size of shoe." You know, one of the most distressing things is to think you know what size shoe you wear, and then somebody else buy you a pair of shoes and bring it. "Well, I got size 12D. That's what size you said it was." And you put it on and it just don't feel right. It hurts your little toe, or it hurts your heel, or whatever it is. And you know, we as our society that we live in, we can't afford tailored shoes and clothing. I mean, the people that could do that, that's a very specialty niche market, because clothing has become so cheap to make it for the masses. And everybody just picks up something that sort of fits. All of us, men and women, children, all of us, we just get something that sort of fits. It's not really made for us. I want to tell you, to have confidence, the only way confidence really works is if we work it out for ourselves. You might be able to have some confidence because you trust somebody else. You may have some confidence because you associate it with a certain group of people or something. That can give you a certain level of confidence. But I'm going to tell you, it's not real confidence. The confidence we need to have with the Lord is something that we work out for ourselves. And when we work it out, I believe it's going to cause us to want to be with others that have worked it out for themselves too. I believe that. But I can't give you confidence, nor can I sell it to you. With the help of the Lord, I want to give us a few points of how to get it. I told you earlier, I believe, just like Brother Salmon's, that we can have a no-so salvation. And confidence with God is going to take work and effort. You're not going to get it by osmosis or close proximity or anything like that. You're going to have to want confidence yourself. That's the only way you're going to get it. I believe, And I'm convinced that every one of us can have confidence. I don't believe any of us have to just go through life with this questionable thing. I hope I make it. No, I believe we can know, as Brother Sammons would tell us, we can know we're saved. I believe that. But I want to tell you that confidence in anything takes two things. It takes planning and it takes a method. So I'd like to spend just a few minutes on planning and a method. Planning in the beginning. Did you know that none of us will have confidence if we don't intend to have confidence? If you don't plan to have confidence in your walk with the Lord, you won't ever have it. If you think that just going along and going through some motions and surely, you know, somewhere along the line I'll develop some confidence. No, it don't work that way. You want to have confidence in your experience with the Lord, you're going to have to plan to have confidence. We must work on a plan that will build confidence. I told you earlier what the comments was of the commentators. We must compare our thoughts and words and works with that of the Word. We must not indulge in any secret sin. We must faithfully perform the duties that we know that we ought to do. And we must submit without complaining. And we got to be conscious to ourselves of our own sincerity. We got to have a plan. This has got to be a focal point. You want to have confidence in the Lord, then you're going to have to intend to have some. We got to ask questions of those that have been successful. How'd you do it? How were you able to come down to this point in your life and have confidence like Job? He knows the way that I take. And when I've been tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. I've got that confidence that the Lord, the relationship I have with the Lord is in good shape and it's intact. We must plan to face and address personal failures. Personal failures is not something that you're the only one that has. And it's not the only thing. I'm not the only one that has personal failures either. All of us have personal failures. We have times that we disappoint ourselves. And we must make a plan to address our personal failures. If you've realized you've come up short in something, and you realize that it's something that distresses your confidence. It's something that you don't, you know, your confidence is rattled. It's not where you can't say like Job, I know that when he tries me that I'm going to come forth like gold. If you can't say that, then let's address it. Plan on doing it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't ignore it. Don't hope that it'll go away because it doesn't give any confidence. We must plan for and practice accountability. Did you know accountability is something that we have to be accountable ultimately to God? But you know it helps for us to be accountable to one another? It helps for us to plan for accountability. And when we do that, our confidence goes up. You know, we all have things that adjust our schedule that happens unaware. I mean, some of us have had things like a toothache that starts all of a sudden, and things like all of a sudden we hear water running and we go in and find that our kitchen floor is flooded, or we have things that adjust our lives that we didn't ask for. We didn't know it was coming. But, you know, when we plan to be accountable, and if somebody's depending on us, and we have something that keeps us from being there, and we call them, we have the capability of getting hold of one another today. Whatever method you want to choose, but we have the way. And we contact them and we plan to be accountable. Can't make it this morning. I can't make it this evening. I can't make it on time. I can't make whatever. We plan to be accountable. We don't assume that everybody will understand. I used to work at a place years ago that had an employee that was very unpredictable. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again. Seen this man, he would come in, you know, we were, when I started work there, I was expected to be there ready to work at 8 o'clock, and I was expected to work until 5. And it wasn't long after I started to work there, I realized that this one man hardly ever got there before 8:30, and sometimes it was 9, and sometimes at 9:15 or 9:30 he showed up, and they assumed that if he didn't show up by 10 o'clock he wasn't coming in. Nobody ever called either direction. He didn't call to tell him I'm going to be late, and they didn't call him and ask him if he was coming. Sometimes he would leave for lunch at 11:45 and come back about 1:30. And usually by 4:30, he was gone. You'd hear his truck start up and gravel was crunching, and out the drive he went. And I've seen him come in sometimes and look at the job task that had been delegated to him and kind of look at it and piddle around a little while and turn around and go get in his truck and leave. I've seen that happen too. I want to tell you, I was glad I wasn't the boss. That there was no accountability. He came and went when he wanted to. He done what he wanted to. There was no. I'm going to tell you, I didn't have any confidence in the fella. You don't know when he's coming to work. And I've seen it to where he didn't show up on Tuesday. I've seen it show up where he didn't show up on Friday or Monday and Tuesday. And you know how he finally quit? He just dwindled off and quit coming to work. This is a true story. He just quit coming to work. And I asked him after a couple of weeks of this man coming to work. I mean, did he quit? We're not real sure. We're thinking maybe he did. No accountability. I'm still flabbergasted that this place that was trying to do business had an employee like that. And you know, if the third day somebody didn't show up, I knew where he lived. The boss knew. He lived down the road from the boss. I would have been down there knocking on his door saying, "Are you coming back to work? I mean, what is there an explanation?" There was no accountability, you see. And if we don't plan to be accountable and we're just kind of doing our own thing off in our own little corner somewheres, you know what's going to happen to our confidence? And other people's confidence, it's going to go down. It's not going to be there. If somebody says, well, what about so-and-so? Well, I don't know. So what about our plan for our accountability with the Lord? You know, some of the best advice I know to do is to be accountable to the Lord. And how we do that is in Psalms 139. Let's turn there real quickly. I'm not talking about temporal things. I'm talking about spiritual things this morning. We'll take the other up this evening. He says here in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, I want to be accountable to you. I don't want you to wonder where I'm at spiritually. Lord, search my heart. See if there's something in me that wouldn't be pleasing to you. I'm endeavoring to compare my thoughts and my words and my works with the Word. But Lord, I want you to search me. I want to be accountable. You come and check my history, so to speak. You young people know what I'm talking about. You come and check my history. See if there's anything here that's not pleasing to you. I want to be accountable to you. I want my confidence to go up. I want to be able to say like Job, when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. I want to have that kind of confidence with the God. Because when I come to the end of life's way, folks, it's going to be serious. It's either heaven or hell. It's one of the two. And I want to have the confidence. Talked about planning. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about your methods. The method is number one in my list is we must make seeking God a relationship with Him a priority. That must be part of my method. I must plan to do it, but it's got to be a priority. That's my method. That's the way I go about having confidence. You know, God's not opposed to us having some recreation or pleasurable things. But that can't be our God. The Lord tells us to live with our spouse of youth all the days of our life and to enjoy that relationship. But we can't make that our God. And God is not opposed to hard work and diligence. In fact, His Word teaches us to give it everything we got. And I believe in that just as much as I believe in anything else. But He also teaches us to don't make it our God either. That's our method, you see. Nehemiah 8 and 10. We'll read something about the method that we need to use. Nehemiah 8 and 10. It says here, Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, or help those that are in need. He said, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We must be able to find, this is part of the method of having confidence. We must recognize that there is joy in the Lord. You know, this is going back to what we talked about earlier of not being not submitting or of submitting without complaining. There is joy in living for the Lord, and we must be able to, this is part of the method of having confidence, is being able to have not just have, but realize the joy in living for God. All right? In Psalms 118 and 8. Let's turn there. Psalms 118 and verse 8, I believe. He says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. If our method is to seek the Lord first, it'll build confidence. You know, I don't know how many times in my line of work I've had someone come in and say, well, I've done everything I know to do. And you try to ask them, what they did, and well, I went down and I done what this one told me to do, and I done what that one told me to do, and I've replaced all of these parts and all of this stuff, and it still don't perform like I want it to do. And I just don't trust anybody. It's like, well, I don't know how I'm going to help you then. You know, it's a bad situation. But he says, but I'm telling you, he said, this verse says, it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And if we want to have confidence with the Lord, we're going to have to seek Him first in our trouble. Now, how confident can we be that our relationship with the Lord is in good shape if we go and try to fix our problems by going to all kinds of other sources first? Lord, I've done everything that I know to do except come to You. So I'm coming to You as a last resort. Can You fix all of my troubles and make my life perfect again? You know, we can't come to the Lord with a lot of confidence like that. We're looking for a bailout. We're not looking for building a close relationship. I'm talking about a method here of having confidence in the Lord. If we seek Him first, then our confidence starts to build. You'll find that if you direct our thoughts, we ask Him to guide our thoughts, we ask Him to guide our hands, we ask Him to guide, give us answers to our questions, we ask Him to give us wisdom, and we turn to Him for all of these needs in our life, we start realizing the Lord is helping me. The Lord is directing my thoughts. He is showing me where to find the answers. He is helping my hands to be skillful. And the last time I was being reckless or careless, and He has helped me to be more cautious and more conscientious and all of those things, we start seeing that happening. And what happens is our confidence in the Lord's ability to help us, it just gets bigger. It grows. This is part of the method. Don't go somewhere else first. Go to the Lord first. Say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got this hard-headed person I'm working with. I've got this difficult situation. I don't know how to get this thing apart. I don't know how to put it together. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish the task that's being required of me. Lord, I need some wisdom. I need some inspiration. I need some direction here. And we start doing that with that's our first step. If we do that, and that's our method, and we plan to do that, you know what's going to happen with our confidence? It's just going to start building and building, and we're going to see things start coming together. I'm talking about having confidence in the Lord. You'll begin to believe that He has a solution for everything. You know, Sears and Roebuck years ago sold everything. They don't do that so much now, but if you wanted a house, you could buy a house from Sears and Roebuck. And somebody else might be able to tell me. I don't know if the boards all come cut to the right length and you just follow the numbers and put it together if you had to cut the lumber. I don't know. But I know you could buy a house from Sears and Roebuck. You could buy a car that said Sears and Roebuck on the side. And you could buy a tractor. You could buy everything from Sears and Roebuck. You had a big catalog back in the early 1900s. It was probably one of the biggest catalogs there was. You could find what you wanted in there and order it, and it would come somehow in the mail or on a train car or something, and it would come to your place. You know, I believe the Lord is that kind of provider. He's got answers for our relationship problems. He's got answers for our temporal problems. He's got relationships for our discouragement. He's got an answer for our health problems. He's got answers for everything in our life. He's got an answer for it. He's got a solution. And if we'll seek Him first, that's a method. And our confidence will just continue to grow. I thought about bringing something with me this morning. Y'all know what trial size things are. You know, you can go to some places, you can go to the store and you can pick up. If you go to the store and you pick up a trial size of of toothpaste. Maybe it's peppermint flavor, or maybe it's wintergreen, or I don't care what. You can go and pick you up a whole pocket full of trial sizes, and then, you know, sometimes I think maybe we ought to buy toothpaste in a gallon bucket or something. I don't know. I don't know if in the past anyway. I don't know if somebody eats it on crackers or what, but it just disappears. And it's always seemed like toothpaste is disappearing out of my when I need to brush my teeth. But I don't want just a little bitty trial size, because somebody's liable to come in and squeeze it all out on their toothpaste. You know, it depends on how much toothpaste you use. There's just not many brushings in a little trial size. I want to tell you, we're going to have to get past the trial size with the Lord. We're going to have to get beyond this element of, well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to put one foot in, but I'm not going to put both feet in. I'm just going to see how this works. I'm going to tell you, confidence is going to be weak in that situation. But when we say, Lord, I want to be, I don't want to turn someplace else. I want my confidence to be good. I want it to be strong. I want to be able to be like Job when he said, though he tries me, when he's done, I'm going to come forth like gold. I want to have that kind of confidence with the Lord. I want to be able to say, when this is all over, the Lord's going to know I'm still with Him. I still intend to follow through with Him. So my point there is, don't think that we're going to have confidence to meet the end of life's way by just taking little trial sizes of the Lord. Well, I'm going to try Him over here in this segment of my life, but I'm not going to use it over here on this. I'm going to tell you, your confidence is going to be weak. And I want us to have good, strong confidence in the Lord. We need to buy a lifetime supply. I don't know what a lifetime supply of toothpaste would look like, but it'd be a big container at my house anyway. I'd like for us to challenge us, the last point that I want to make this morning. I'd like to challenge us to read Psalms 15. And you just do this ever so often. I'll read it this morning. And I just want to challenge you to read that psalm and ask ourselves, is it my plan to dwell in the holy hill of the Lord? This is part of the method. The method of gaining confidence, and I believe this method will work if we plan to do it. But if we don't put it in our plans, if we don't follow through with it, it won't build confidence. But listen to this psalm. He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And the response is, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. That talks about someone with confidence, doesn't it? Never be moved. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm standing with the Lord. And I want every one of us today to realize that you can know where you stand with the Lord. And it's not just a knowledge that I don't meet the Lord's expectation. I believe that we can know that we do meet the Lord's expectations. And He does accept us, and He does approve of us, and we can face life with this confidence that no matter what test the Lord allows to come my way, when it's all finished, when it's all said and done, I'll be able to say like Job, when I get through this test, I know that I'm going to be like gold tried in the fire. You pray for me. I want to have confidence with the Lord, and I want Him to be my plan. And the method I intend to put in place in my life is to look to Him first in all of life's troubles. You pray for me.